Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Thursday, March 17th. Here it is, Thursday already. But if you're still a little jet-lagged from losing an hour of sleep on Saturday night, so apparently is Senator Marco Rubio.
One has to ask themselves after a while, why do we keep doing it? Why are we doing this?
The Florida Republican has a bill to put us on permanent daylight saving time, and the bill has now passed with a unanimous consent voice vote.
I think the majority of the American people's preference is just to stop the back and forth changing.
Now, the Senate doesn't do very much unanimously these days, or maybe ever, but permanent daylight saving time is apparently the new heart of common ground in America. Unless it's not. The House hasn't passed the bill yet, and people I know can't agree on if we're going to have one permanent time, whether they want the extra light in the morning or at night. Listeners, do you have an opinion on this before the House of Representatives makes changing our clocks obsolete? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or tweet at Brian Lehrer. And we'll talk about that and more now with New York Times congressional reporter Luke Broadwater. Thanks for coming on, Luke. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
So what exactly would the Marco Rubio bill do?
Well, it would do away with all of the clock changing that, you know, we Americans have grown so accustomed to in favor of one time. And the Rubio bill is for it to be the daylight saving time. And that is the hour. This is the time that's preferred by people who like light in the evening. And so basically the time we're on right now would stay the same time for the whole year and would not change starting in the fall of 2023. Rubio and some of the other senators spoke with the airlines and spoke with some big organizations, and they basically indicated that their schedules are set so far in advance that they couldn't make a change earlier than that. So they've given institutions plenty of time to adjust to this new schedule if, in fact, it would pass the House also.
In what sense was this vote unanimous?
Well, it caught me by surprise, and I think it caught a lot of Hill reporters by surprise because, you know, we've all been very much bogged down in reporting on Ukraine and the January 6th committee and, you know, Build Back Better or attempts to revive it and the weighty issues of our time. And then all of a sudden, this bill, which has been, a pet project of Marco Rubio since 2018, was brought to the floor and quickly passed within minutes. I mean, there was no debate. It was brought up suddenly. It was asked for to see if anyone objected to it. When no one did, it passed by unanimous consent. And then pretty much every lawmaker rushed out to the podium to give their speech on why this was such a great idea. I do think a lot of them were annoyed at the losing the hour of sleep over the weekend, and they were talking about that. And maybe they were just in a foul mood and decided to do it.
With great power comes great privilege. Or I know it's supposed to be the other way around, but, you know. And you reported that while no senator dissented, at least one, Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona, celebrated out loud. What did Kyrsten Sinema say?
Yeah, she was presiding over the chamber at the time, and she did sort of a double fist pump and said yes as she was sitting in the president's chair. And it's funny because Arizona is one of the two states that has an exemption from daylight saving time. So it doesn't even affect her state, but it's apparently quite popular with much of the voters. There's a good amount of public opinion polling that shows that Americans don't like changing the clocks back and forth. They just want to pick a time. What is interesting though, is we did away with the clock changing in the 1970s, and at the time that was a very popular decision. But after about a year of not changing the clocks and having, you know, daylight time shifted, people grew to actually miss it and it was reinstated. So maybe there is some wisdom in Ben Franklin's idea that you should change the times to give people some more sunlight in the morning during some of the year.
Interesting. I didn't know that about Arizona. They don't change their clocks in Arizona?
Yeah, they have an exception or an exemption from the early 1900s. It was because of the extreme heat in the southwest of the country where, anyway, they were able to get an exemption. And so they do not follow, and neither does Hawaii.
So Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema is very excited about this. Nonetheless, she's not so excited about paid parental leave like in President Biden's Build Back Better bill that she's holding up. That's another show. But you also had liberal Democrat Patty Murray, more on the liberal end of the Democratic Party, with a positive quote in your article. What did Patty Murray from Washington State say?
Yeah, Patty Murray said she constantly hears from her constituents about the effect on children's sleep cycles. And I noticed this myself. My kindergartner stayed up to like 11:30 after we changed the clocks. And I was like, go to bed. If you have young kids who are into a sleep routine and all the clock changing can be very frustrating for parents. And she said, so she blamed the changing of the clocks for disrupting her constituents' sleep cycles, those of them with young kids.
I have three tweets already from listeners who say, I'll read one of them that sums it up well, just compromise and move it a half hour. Anybody talking about that in D.C.?
You know, I have not actually heard that. That's a good idea. Maybe I will bring that up in some interviews. I don't know how that would work, honestly. The debate has really been about whether to use standard time or daylight saving time. And it does, the majority of states that have put forward their own bills or resolutions have gone for daylight saving time. It seems to be that most people prefer a little extra light in the evening than in the morning. But you know, if you're a morning person, you're a early morning runner, or you have a job where you requires you to be out early in the morning, you're going to want standard time. So, I can understand both ways.
Right. Or kids going to school in the dark, you know, in December and January or so. I mean, I personally like my extra daylight later in the day. But one of my close colleagues here was saying to me this week, please, please put it in the morning. And, you know, we're a little tiny nothing sample of two. But I think from what you're saying, this is a conversation that Americans would be having with each other if they thought this was serious and might actually pass as one or another permanently. How late, do you have the numbers, like how late would the sun come up in December and January if we were on permanent daylight saving time?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't have that off.
Yeah, it could be a little after 8 o'clock, you know, especially in some places. Like, did you realize that it's different north to south within the U.S., but also east to west within the time zones? For example, the sun comes up later in Ohio than it does in New York, which are both in the eastern time zone, but later in Ohio because the sun rises in the east. So yeah. I don't know if there are any geographical divisions along those lines in Congress.
Yeah, I can see you having a breakdown where you have the East Coast fighting the West Coast or whatever, depending on, or even the North and the South, depending on what, their constituents' preferences. So, yeah, I do think it's... there's also the lobbying aspect of this. Scientists do not like scientists like standard time better. They say it's more consistent with natural sleep cycles and the rising of the sun. Huh. But most of the business groups want daylight saving time because that gives them a little more time in the evening when people are more likely to shop. So there is a lobbying effort connected to this as well, where it does seem the more moneyed interests are on the favor of daylight saving time.
And with Luke Broadwater, congressional correspondent for the New York Times, Wendy in Bloomfield, you're on WNYC. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for making the call. It's 10 after 10 in the morning. A week ago at this time, it was 10 after 9. No, it was, yes. Ah, see that? I confused myself, but that
confusing.
Is right. It was 10 after 9. We sprung forward. Anyway, hi.
Hi. Well, I was calling because my concern with switching the time to the daylight savings is when the kids are going to school in the morning, it's going to be dark when they're trying to walk. And I think it'll be more dangerous. My son, a few years ago, almost got hit by a car in a crosswalk, and it was daylight.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm concerned that, you know, walking to school in the morning in the dark is going to make it more dangerous.
Wendy, thank you very much. We have another one on the same concern. I'm going to hear it. Nora on Staten Island. You're on WNYC. Hi, Nora.
Hi, good morning. The same thing. I'm concerned about children either on the bus stop or walking because if you stay daylight savings time, that means it's dark until after 8 o'clock. And I really wish people would think of other people besides themselves, especially think of children who don't have a vote, and, you know, do what's best for their safety. And I also think that if people find it so difficult to change their clocks twice a year, which I'm having a hard time getting around my brain around that, but anyway, then to stay on standard time, that would be my vote.
Nora, thank you very much. Luke, listener tweets, in Buffalo in December, the sun would rise at 8:50. Now, I can't confirm this, but this is what somebody wrote in with their calculation. In Buffalo, because that far north, right? So the further you go toward the poles, the more extreme the differences are from season to season, right? Like in Alaska, it's the sun hardly ever goes down in the summer, that kind of thing. So in Buffalo, which is north in the U.S. context, listener writes, in Buffalo in December, the sun would rise at 8:50 with daylight savings becoming permanent. And then Betsy in Brooklyn puts that concern in the context of the guy who sponsored the bill, Marco Rubio. Hi, Betsy. You're on WNYC.
Hi, yeah. So, Marco Rubio's in Florida, so it doesn't change as much. He's nearer to the equator. And, you know, I am not a morning person, but even so, I hate going to work in the dark. And, you know, besides all the concerns of the school children, that extra hour of daylight in the middle of the winter doesn't really help because if you're working a 9-to-6 job, which a lot of us do, you get out, it's still dark when you get out of work. So at least let's have some light in the morning when we're coming in.
Betsy, thank you. Yeah, Florida, being near the equator, has more even sunlight and darkness throughout the day. Some more tweets coming in, Luke. One person writes that moving it to the half hour compromise that somebody suggested would be terrible for business because meetings are set to certain times internationally. So if we were out in our own private Idaho with 30-minute time zones. But then somebody else wrote in that they do that already in Newfoundland. So I don't know if that's true, but somebody wrote that. And now somebody else writes about the concern for the children. Maybe if we change the clocks to be daylight at all times, daylight saving time at all times, schools can just start a little later. Then the kids would get more sleep and they wouldn't have to walk in the dark, which is such an interesting tangential issue, Luke. I don't know if this has ever come up in your experience covering Congress, but it comes up at the local level in communities around the country from time to time. Like, why do the kids have to go to school in certain grades so damn early?
Yeah, I actually used to cover a local school board. That was my first job out of college. And that was, there was a constant debate of why high school started so early and elementary school started so late when like the little kids wake up earlier than the big kids. And anyway, we have a lot of things in this country that don't necessarily make a ton of sense. But I do think it's interesting that so many of your callers are pushing back against this idea, because that is what we've seen when it was switched before. It was also Russia actually moved to get off daylight saving time or the clock changing in, I believe, 6 or 7 years ago. And then they reverted back to changing the clocks again. So it does seem like when other countries move away from it, they miss it and then want to move back. So, but we'll see. This country has done different things many times. The law has changed repeatedly since 1918, when clock changing was first introduced. It was repealed, and then it was reinstated in 1966. And then I mentioned 1974, there was the change, and then the change back. And then in 2005, daylight saving time was lengthened to cover more weeks of the year, something like a month or 2 months more. So we have fiddled with this before. The current system hasn't always been the way of life here. But we'll see. I mean, I do think the House wants to slow this down a little bit, study it a bit more before making a decision, because what the Senate did was quite quick and it took a lot of people by surprise.
Number of people being snarky on Twitter. By the way, this is a Twitter jackpot, you know? We've done how many shows in the last 2 weeks on should the U.S. impose a no-fly zone over Ukraine? Matter of mass life and death. And yeah, we get some tweets. This, oh my God, I can't keep up with them. I start to read a tweet on the air and it goes off my screen because 10 other tweets have come in.
You'll be glad to know that I was shocked at the number of people on the New York Times website that read this story. It was like a bonanza of readers. So it's a topic of very high interest.
Some people pushing back on my reference to Florida being relatively close to the equator. One saying, Florida is closer to Canada than it is to the equator. So I take your point, but that was just relative to Buffalo, you know, and some other parts of the United States. If you're in Miami, you will feel those days being a little more even between light and dark compared to the northern U.S. Somebody else writing in a serious vein, after our conversation about the disadvantages for kids going to school in the morning, maybe it's the opposite for older people. Listener tweets, my 81-year-old mother has to rush home before 4 or 5 in winter because it's not safe for her to drive when it's so dark. Safer for older folks with light at night, safer for kids in the morning, I guess. So
yeah,
there's an interesting dichotomy too.
One of the experts we talked to who's studies motor vehicle safety said that the extra hour of light in the evening would reduce car crashes likely, and that Sheldon Whitehouse, the senator from Rhode Island, you know, raised a bit of outrage on the floor when he said that, you know, people were driving home in the dark at night and it was dark in Rhode Island at 4:15, and he would rather it be 5:15. So there is some argument for the evening rush hour having a bit more light and preventing accidents.
Connie in Massapequa, you're on WNYC. Hi, Connie.
Hey, good to talk to you, Brian. How are you?
Good. What you got?
So years ago, in the early 90s, my husband was transferred to Tokyo. My children were 1 and 2. In the summer, let's say June, it would be broad daylight at 4 o'clock in the morning there and dark before 7 at night. And I personally found it really difficult to keep kids sleeping past the brightness that early. And also, I think for older children, it's nice, and I think for adults too, to have some light at the end of the day in the summertime. But, you know, that gets cut off with this year-round change, I think, for the worse.
Connie, thank you very much. Luke, what is the timeline of this? I mean, this is not normally a topic we would necessarily lead this show with, but because it passed the Senate unanimously And because you reported on it in the Times as having come with no warning and no debate, this may actually become policy in the United States. And so, you know, we should do at least one prominently spotlighted segment on it before it does. But is the House of Representatives likely to take a vote soon? I see that Ed Markey from Massachusetts sponsored the House version. Is that right?
Oh, so Ed Markey, when he was in the House, was the author of a bill that lengthened daylight saving time in 2005. He's now in the Senate and is an advocate for doing it permanently.
Right.
I spoke with Speaker Pelosi's office.
Oh, I see. He co-sponsored. No, no, no. I misread. He, of course, I was thinking about Ed Markey as a member of the House, which, of course, is outdated. He co-sponsored with Marco Rubio. Is that it?
Yes, he's part of the Rubio, Patty Murray, Sheldon Whitehouse push to make this change. Now, I spoke with Speaker Pelosi.
By the way, another tweet that just came in. I can't believe I finally agree with Marco Rubio about something.
So Pelosi's office says they're studying it, and they their point person on this is Frank Pallone from New Jersey. And he is in favor of switching to one time year round and not doing the clock changing. But I think it's still a matter of study about which time to embrace. So I think the House wants to slow this down a little bit, study it a bit more. They do have a few more months before the elections. So it honestly isn't. You know, I think Ukraine is a much more pressing issue right now in the Congress. But, you know, I could see this coming up for a vote in the House before the end of the year. But I do think they think what the Senate did was a little quick and probably deserves a bit more study before the House takes it up.
Luke Broadwater covers Congress for The New York Times. Luke, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer, a daily politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.